This letter of 1 John is one of the most powerful epistles that we have in the New Testament as far as the way I look at it. There are so many doctrines, so many affirmatives, so many things that he says that are absolute. He speaks of our position in Christ. He wants the believer to know where they stand and why they stand the way they stand. Your standing in Christ is all, if you're saved, could be altogether different than your practical experience. You may feel defeated today, but your standing in Christ is you have victory. There's no defeat in Christ. I heard Brother Milton Taylor preach a message for years out of Romans 6 about facts, faith, and feelings. The Bible, that's the facts. Our feelings go up and down, up and down, up and down. But the facts always remain the same. And our faith, where our faith is put, either in our feelings or in the facts, will determine a whole lot of how we live the Christian life. If I'm thinking more about my feelings than I am the facts, then I'm going to start feeling that way. I'll be living in defeat, living in low. You understand what I'm saying? He wrote something here that is found several times in the Scripture, and I'll just get right to it. Let me read. And I want you to notice how John, the book of John, chapter 1, and the book of 1 John is very similar in their introduction. Look at it. That which was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. If you go to the book of John, he says, in the beginning was the Word. And here he's talking about Christ the exact same way. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. And see, that's different than seen with our eyes. You can see somebody with your eyes, but then to really look upon them, to really see them. See, Jesus was, a lot of people looked at him and saw a Nazarene. The disciples saw the Messiah, the Son of God. And our hands have handled of the Word of life. That's him. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. I mean, this is staggering. That God's Son, that was with God in the beginning, came and we saw him, he said. That life was manifested and we beheld him and we saw him. This wasn't just any other man. It wasn't like any other event that had ever taken place, ever, anywhere. This is I can say this reverently. I mean, we think creation, well, the very manifestation of the Son of God, is bigger than that in my mind. That the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That the God of glory that created everything came down in the form of a man and loved us. I mean, that's huge. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. We're not just telling you. I mean, we're declaring this. We are making a declaration to the whole world. That's what the early disciples wanted. That's why they turned the world upside down. They were going to declare to the whole world, we walked with God for 3.5 years, and He died for us. And He died for you to redeem us back to Himself. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Look here. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. The one thing that God wants you and I to have is fullness of joy in His Son.
Yes, sir.
In believing, in knowing. I mean, listen, we are to, there's times, and I know that's a carnal way to look at it, I mean, but we are to, you talk about getting out of the banks, flipping cartwheels, to know that we have heard the message that was hid from the beginning, that God revealed through His apostles unto us, that we could believe, that we could, I mean, to go my whole life and never know that Christ was the manifest presence of God. Had no understanding. I knew there was a God in heaven, but I didn't know Him, didn't know anything about Him. I knew about a little bit about religion, that people, these people were Baptist, and these were Lutheran, these were Catholic, but I had no idea what anything meant. I was as much in darkness as anybody could be. But for Him to reveal this unto us, we are to be overjoyed that God brought that light to us. That He said, I'm telling you this, and I'm writing this to you that your joy may be full. Now in 2 John, verse 12, you don't have to turn there. It's only that one chapter, 13 verses. He said, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face. Listen, there are some things you just got to tell in person. Could you imagine? Listen, we have the written Word of God. But could you imagine an apostle of Jesus Christ walk through those doors and say, I'm here to tell you what I know? He'd have my attention.
Amen.
He would have my attention. To know that here is a man that saw Him, that walked with Him. Are you listening? That is a carrier of the message. And it's no different with us today. We are the church.
Amen.
We carry that same message. And it takes more faith for us to do it because we've not seen it. But we believe it. But somewhere, there's a disconnect with our joy being full. Maybe we're not believing it as strongly as we should believe it. We're not amazed by it like we should be amazed. It should amaze us to know how, I mean, God has let us know. There's a lot of people who have no idea how all this has even come into existence. Yeah, we do. Just that one truth. Just that one truth. Men, they want to, a lot of them, even that does put God in creation, they want to make His each day as millions of years, you know, for that day to pass. Millions of years for the earth to kind of form. You know what I believe? I don't believe it was so much that there was a bunch of asteroids smacking into one another out there like they say, and it comes into this perfect mud ball. With perfect gravitation. At the perfect distance from the sun. Now I believe when we look at the mountains and everything around us, we can see the fingerprint of God. The Creator that made you and I in His own image. Are you listening? He took His hands and He molded us out of the very dust of the earth and breathed into us life. And now that life has come. Christ. Manifest in the flesh, that your joy may be full. I mean, when He said, that same thing in 2 John, having many things to write unto you, I could not write unto you with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. That our joy may be full. Now look in Acts chapter number 2. Here the apostle is preaching about Christ coming. He said in verse 25, "For David speaketh concerning Him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For He is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with Thy countenance." With God's outward appearance, with His person, with His presence. He's talking about Christ manifest. You'll make me full of joy with your appearance. And Christ was the appearance. In Him is fullness of joy. In Him is fullness of joy. God wants us to know that joy. Now back in John, I want to show you some things that I think will help with our joy. There's several things that he says through here, you know, that if we do, over and over, he makes that statement. If we do. Look at verse number 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. A lot of times our joy may not be full because we've not confessed our sins. He wants us to confess our sins. Even after salvation. I don't go to a confessional to man. You don't go to a confessional to man. It's not me that you come and confess to. But we confess to Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Isn't it good to know that if you ask Him, He's faithful to forgive you? And He's just to forgive you. Why? Because you deserve to be forgiven? No, because He died for your sin. Because He died for your sin. He is just to wash it away. He's justified in that. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What about that? So, if we do one thing, if we confess our sins, one thing, He is faithful. He'll be faithful to you. He is just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you. God will do four things. He'll be faithful. He'll be just. He'll forgive. He'll cleanse. Just if we confess. You talk about where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's 1 to 4. If we do one thing, God does 4. Just in that one verse. God's telling us, if we confess our sin, then look in verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we walk in the light, He is in the light. He is in the light with us because He is the light. We have fellowship one with another. You talk about restoring fellowship, just walking in the light restores Christian fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us. That is a notation of a continual cleansing. We have the blood on our soul. His blood at the mercy seat guarantees a continual cleansing of our sin. If we walk in the light. The fellowship that He said we have. Look back in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This fellowship is communion. It's a close communion. you're communing. When Jesus told the church over there, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him." That supping with Christ, that communion with him, that's that joy. That's that joy. We are being filled with joy, his joy. We have his communion. When he said the life was manifested and we have seen it, that word manifested means, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you, all of that means that we have gazed upon him with purpose. He is a spectacle like no other. A spectacle like no other. You know, we people have testified. I don't think we realize just what a gazing on him there will be. John got a glimpse of the streets of gold and the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl. The foundations, all the different stones that they were made of. The one thing that is the most amazing to gaze is God in the midst. Amen. Christ. Christ himself. Amen. It means that they had a prolonged and continual gaze. I mean, they really beheld him. They were ever more knowing him. I mean, Peter made the statement, "Thou art the Christ." And that was some time before Christ was crucified. Did they fully see him and what it meant that he was the Christ? I don't think they fully... They had much more to gaze, and I'll tell you why. Because at his resurrection, they didn't know where he was. And they were mourning. They weren't expecting. They were mourning. Until he revealed himself unto them. Their joy was full. In chapter number 2, I want you to look at this. In verse number 4, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And I want you to look at this verse. "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." His love is perfected in us. His love, he said, "Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily." Verse 6, "He that saith he abideth in him." You see, it's being in Christ. In Christ, that is our position. That's what I was talking about a while ago. That is a fixed position. That is the single fixed position of the Christian life. You are in Christ. And everything else comes back to it. Your joy is linked to you being in him. our love being perfected in Him. Because that is where we stand. We are perfected, consummated, consecrated. His love is fulfilled in us. Now look, here's one I want you to see. This will bring joy. Verse number 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him. It's true in Christ, right? And in you. This is true in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. This is true in Him, and it's true in you. Darkness. No darkness. There's no darkness in you. There's no darkness in Him. There's no darkness in you. It's true in Him. It's true in you. That's what John said. He said that. Which thing is true in Him and in you? That's a great position to be in. What is true in Christ is true in us. No darkness in Him, no darkness in us. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. We stumble, we lose joy. And sometimes it could just be because we weren't loving our brother the way we should. He keeps over and over talking about somebody that hates their brother. If you hate your brother, there's a big problem there. Because Christ loves you. Christ loves the brethren. They are His. And they are in Him. To say that we hate them would be to say we hate Him. Our position is in Him. Darkness blinds people's eyes. I saw that the other day, and that really gave me some more assurance. Which thing is true in Him and in you? I love it when the Bible relates us with God's Son in such a way that you can't ignore. Verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Most of the time we lose joy, it's over our sin. What we're doing or not doing with our sin. Whether we feel like we're forgiven or not. See, you can confess and still not feel forgiven. Well, you're forgiven for His name's sake. Amen. You're forgiven for His name's sake. You can come to the Heavenly Father and ask Him for anything for His name's sake. Not because I'm worthy, but because He is. because of who He is, who Christ is, what Christ has done. He has done it all for us, and He is our advocate. He is our propitiation. He is our joy. You find it in Him. Verse 6, He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Even as he walked. Back in verse 5, I'm going to give you this and I'm done. There's a lot more I'd like to get into. But whoso keepeth His word. See, our relationship with His word is our relationship with Him. Whoso keepeth His word in Him is in you. Verily is the love of God perfected. Keeping God's word perfects the love of God in our heart. Hereby know we that we are in Him. There's joy. Joy in believing. The Bible talks about joy in believing. Faith in believing. That we are in Him. In Him. You find all the places that God says that we are in Him. I hadn't found all of them. Over in verse 28, very last verse, now little children, abide in Him. That when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And we can have joy. John said, I've written this that your joy may be full. Grab hold of who it is that we're in a relationship with. Our position in Christ, who Christ is. The message of His life. He came. His light. His life is in us. His light is in us. His joy is in us. His love is in us. Over and over, John's talking about the things that are His that are in us. I didn't have that till Christ came. Didn't know about it. I'm glad it's there now. I'm certainly glad it's there. I'm not glad enough. Amen. All right, I'm done. If you want to stand, we'll give a